Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefty's Refuge. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's sticking with me throughout my podcast episodes. I've noticed that they're not being listened to as much, which is fine because people are allowed to listen to what they want to listen to. But I just wanted to explain, between a chronic illness, two jobs, and all of the buildings around me having the cladding removed, I'm basically unable to record podcasts as much as I want to. So I just wanted to say thank you for listening and sticking with me. If you do have anything that you want me to speak about, feel free to reach out on social media. I'm no longer using Twitter because Elon Musk is a cisgender Nancy boy. But if you do have me on any forms of social media and you want to reach out and ask me to speak about things, feel free. I would love to hear from people because I do like to speak to people who also are interested in the madness of British politics. Thanks very much. Just as a sidebar, I have to let you guys know that I name all of my episodes different things as I'm recording them so that I can edit them. And I now have not one, not two, but three episodes just called... Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged. The name of the podcast was never more apt than today. I don't even know where to start. First of all, there is the news that our ex-Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the person that was in the most senior political position it's possible to hold in the UK... can't remember the password to his old phone. If that's the case, should we be concerned that for a very brief period of time the man held the nuclear codes? But honestly, it's not just that that's annoying me. I want to talk about both the fact that our government is stupid, because that's literally all that I do these days, but also something else that I've noticed a lot of. There's been this resurgence in content that keeps popping up whenever I go on the internet of boomers telling people like me that we are ungrateful and selfish and that it's our fault that we're in the position that we're in. So I decided to test that theory this morning because I couldn't sleep, because at 35, I have permanent neck pain. It is great. So I just wanted to present you all some quick figures before we get going on the main show. So I did some research into what the average salary across the whole of the UK is. So according to the ONS in 2020, the average salary for the whole of the UK was £38,600. In England specifically, it was £39,452. Now, that is more money than I'm on. So let's just start there, okay? I decide that what we're going to do is we are going to be generous. This thing that boomers actually don't understand. The first thing we need to do is a little bit of research. Back in the heady days when boomers used to buy properties, properties were on average four times what the average salary of the country was. So I'm going to be generous again and take the higher salary that we've just discussed. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to times that salary by four. So we're going to take 39,452 and we're going to times it by four, which equals 157,808 pounds. Then what I decided to do was some property research into the area that I grew up in. Let's start with this first house here. It's already out of our price range. In 2005, it was £190,000. It's since appreciated in value to £385,000. So we can't buy that one. Let's look at another one. £249,950 starts out at. Now, £490,000. Here's a reasonable one. Started out in 2001 at £78,500. What do you think it is now? Any guesses? It's £281,000. We can't buy it. This one here starts at £145,000. So, you know, could be able to buy it. That was in 2009. What do you think it is now? £670,000. How about this one here? Weirdly, it was originally in 2001 valued at £22,620. That is weird and a misnomer, so let's discount that. In 2005, it was £89,500. Now it's valued at a gentle £160,000, meaning that we still can't afford to buy it. Now, I watched content of a boomer arguing with Owen Jones yesterday. I'm not a huge Owen Jones fan myself. Don't hate the guy, but certainly wouldn't be inviting him to any dinner parties. But he made some fantastic points, because Boomer Lady was all, all you've got is the property thing. Well, the property thing is actually enough. But let's talk about how much the world has changed since you guys were in our position. Nowadays, we have to have the internet at home. It's not a luxury. We have to have it. So that's an extra bill added on top. Then we get the whole you know, these young ones spending money on mobile phones. Have you tried to do anything without a mobile phone ever? Imagine turning around to your boss and saying, oh, I can't give you my mobile phone number so you can contact me out of hours and I can tell you when I'm going to be in or not. I don't have one. Oh, I'll just get a cheap burner phone, shall I? How actually do you expect to keep up with the amount of correspondence that we are sent that we actually need? I have had 21, is it 21? Hold on. 20, sorry, emails in the last month that I've absolutely had to receive that were definitely only emailable, mostly from the government, a couple from other people, but I've needed to have those with immediate access. And if I didn't have a smartphone, I couldn't do that. Council tax bills now on average at their highest since, I can't even remember when the report said actually, but a long time. Energy bills spiralled in price because of the, air quote, war in Ukraine, certainly not because the government won't do anything to help us. The runaway inflation supposedly being curtailed until you look at core inflation, which means that just buying the goods that you need to stock your cupboards with is more expensive than it's been in about 17 years. And one of my favourite random victims of inflation was car insurance, which at one point earlier this year shot up by 62% in some areas. Try blaming that on the war in Ukraine, because unless you're having a gentle drive through Donbass of a lazy Saturday, I don't really see what's got to do with what. The point is that we are living through a very difficult time, a time where we have less disposable income than ever, but we're still expected to save, and we're also expected to pay into the economy, which is floundering without our investment because we don't have enough money to spend in the economy because we're saving so that we can buy a house that we can't afford. So I think you can see why people like me are getting a little bit annoyed. Now, I'm really fed up of this message, but my favourite part of it is that we are always told that we are an ungrateful generation. Are we an ungrateful generation? Let's say that we are an ungrateful generation. Let me ask you the gentle probing question of who raised us? If we're ungrateful, then maybe you guys just failed to raise us properly and that's why we're ungrateful. But I do distinctly recall reading some memoirs from quite a few years ago of the generation preceding the boomers, which referred to the boomers as Generation Me, because apparently the boomers were all ungrateful and selfish. The thing that annoys me is I'm really tired of this intergenerational war bullshit. Like, I don't ultimately really care that much who's responsible. I just like the people who are responsible to take ownership. And I'm not saying that my entire generation is like this paragon of virtue who've just quietly sat there and taken the beatings. Like, we've spoken up about it, and I think that's where the issue is. We've pointed out the systemic inequalities in how things have been done, in the fact that boomers decided to deregulate the banking market and then were surprised, shocked Pikachu.jpg when that went completely wrong and completely turned the economy the worldwide upside down. I just want us to get on with it now, you know? I just want people who have been in the way of everyone succeeding to shut the fuck up and step away, you know? I don't want to have arguments with old people about who's responsible for what and how grateful or ungrateful I should be for things. It just doesn't work that way. Ultimately, boomers made some very poor decisions, not just about our generation, but about your own. My granddad paid into a private pension, which went tits up, and left him with nothing. So my grandma had to work for years and years and years and years and years past when she should have retired because they had no money. And as sorry as I am for that, that cost of collapsed pensions and stuff was passed on to my fucking generation. You might be wondering why I mentioned the Boris Johnson thing at the start, and it's because I'm just tired of people blaming others for everything. This feeds into so many things that I talk about. I really enjoy talking about like the weird misogyny guys that are just like everywhere these days. I've never seen a bunch of people so unwilling to accept their own faults and like failures. Oh, women these days are entitled because they don't want to talk to me. Or you could just be less of a human armpit and then maybe women would want to talk to you. But like the way these guys approach every fucking interaction is like a deal that they need to close, like they're some kind of fucking salesperson. It's no wonder no one wants to fucking talk to you. I don't want to talk to people like that. If someone came up to me and was very transparently just trying to hold small talk so they could gauge how big my penis was, I probably wouldn't want to talk to them either. But it's like a trickle-down thing. At least something does trickle down. It's just not the good stuff. But we had a prime minister who was a habitual liar, who's still habitually lying. Oh, I've lost the passcode to my phone. No, you haven't. But it's not just Boris Johnson that's lying, because that is the worst thing, you know, like prominent figures enable lying. But the government's lying too. Are you telling me that the government that contains the Secret Service and MI6 and shit doesn't have the ability to unlock a phone if it's got the consent of the person who the phone belongs to? Are you actually jesting me with this? And the other problem is, the other side of the coin is that we accept this stuff. You know, I'm tired of seeing people debating misogynists. I'm tired of seeing people debating, ooh, is it right or wrong that Boris Johnson is a liar? Why are we debating everything when there's unassailable fact that tells us what the right fucking answer is? And instead we feel like babying people who want to live in denial land. It's the same kind of nonsense as babying all the fucking anti-trans and anti-LGBT plus people. Oh, they're all groomers. Oh my God, it's literally you guys who are always the groomers. Like, do you know how many times I've seen Christian youth pastors or priests or guidance counsellors or paediatricians who are massive fucking pedos and just happen to be one of those, like, save the children types? It's literally the fucking, the Venn diagram is a circle, babes. Shut up. But this is why so many of us feel this weird disconnection from society, because it's, you know, like everyone fucking misuses the phrase Orwellian. Every time I turn around, there's another politician going, oh, that person refusing to not talk about the world burning because fossil fuels is Orwellian. Suck a dick. You want to know what's Orwellian? Living in a world where everyone wants to fucking debate anything instead of looking at the fact. Like, the fact is, there's no reason to be transphobic because there's no reason to be transphobic. There's no evidence that shows why I should be transphobic. There's no reason that you should be concerned about people like me being groomers when we get dressed up in drag. Because believe me, that as someone that's done drag, I don't fucking want children near me, either in drag or out of it. Kids piss me off. Keep them away from me, Deborah. I don't want your sticky-fingered brats anywhere near me, thanks. The whole world is just absolutely crackers, and I just cannot understand how we've gotten to this point. Like, how we've normalised this so deeply that we need to discuss everything. We don't need to. And the freedom of speech thing is bullshit. If you think that the world is flat and controlled by aliens, then I don't value your opinion and I don't need or want to hear it. Like, it just shouldn't be anywhere because it's not important. It's not relevant. I'm so tired of this, you know? I shouldn't have to debate whether I should be allowed to get married or visible in public with people because their opinions are irrelevant. Like, it does no harm for me to exist. I'm not hurting anyone by existing and by following my natural instincts, which is to be with another man. You people are the ones with the problem, and you're trying to catastrophize it so that you can legitimize your weird feelings. That's not my issue. Boris Johnson, the fact that he's a liar in politics. Rishi Sunak, obvious liar in politics. Liz Truss, massive liar in politics. All of this stuff is interwoven in one way or another. We just exist in a very weird space and time where it seems like everyone wants to get into the minutiae but is missing the big picture, you know? There's no point in having these ridiculous discussions. There's no point in even discussing, you know, are the Conservatives good or bad at government? Look at the fucking objective truth of the state of the world. When people back this Conservative government at this point, I'm like, are you on heroin? Like, what's actually wrong with you? Look at the state of everything. I'm sure there are rich people out there who back them because their lives have materially improved underneath them. But it's not like I run into them every 5 or 10 minutes, is it? Like, there's a reason we call it the 5% and the 1%. I don't run into people that are in that 5% and that 1% that often to be defending these people. And then today, some of the comments that I've seen on the internet, like when it comes to just normal political discussion, let me read you some of the highlights of what I've read off of Instagram this morning. Martin Perigallo writes, leftists against socialists, that's all it's about in today's parliament. Reform UK. Who is the leftist here? Do you think that the Conservatives are leftists? Do you think that Labour are leftists? And even better, do you think that the Conservatives or Labour are socialists right now? Are you thick? What socialist policy are either of them offering? Is it literally nothing, Martin? Are you okay, hon? Yaniola McLaren writes, helping illegal immigrants is more of a priority than our own children. First of all, you've spelt illegal. I-L-L-E-A-G-A-L. Like, maybe learn to type properly before you start getting smart on the internet. Secondly, there is no such thing as an illegal immigrant. And thirdly, this government isn't helping anyone, you thick fuck. Shaq658 writes, Labour caused the economy to collapse every time they were in power. Austerity measures came about because of the previous Labour government. Well, at least there's a scintilla of truth here. The last Labour government decided to deregulate the banks at the same time as almost every other industrial nation in the world, leading to a collective collapse of the banking industry because the bankers were irresponsible. Shocked Pikachu.jpg. But it wasn't purely Labour's fault. And by the way, if you then take from that story what you should, which is that bankers are tossers, you might want to note that Rishi Sunak used to be a banker. But my absolute favourite comment has to go to JohnnyG866. You have no clue. Labour isn't about working class people, it's about minorities. Labour hasn't been about working class people for at least 30 years. Johnny, do you seriously think that the class categorisation system goes working class, middle class, upper class, minorities? Minorities also exist and are subject to the class system, you fucking loser. And because of the disadvantage of societies, most people that are minorities are squarely in working class. So if Labour represents minorities, they're still representing the working class. Suck a dick. The lens through which we view how people see things is so skewed now. Like I said, these people think that because they can spunk their opinion on the internet and people engage with it, that it's relevant and worthy of discussion. And I think that's the big problem. You know, I've seen this microcosm of it on the internet where a lot of really, really obnoxious people were joining new social media sites that popped up to replace Elon Musk's shit pile that is Twitter. And people just weren't engaging with their bullshit. And they just got bored and went quiet. It's absolutely amazing watching people just give up because nobody was engaging with them. It was absolutely comical. And it proved to me that these people don't exist to make salient points about why the world is the way it is. They exist to fucking annoy people, you know? I'm not going to take people like that seriously. It's another reason why I don't debate people with these ridiculous opinions. There's a couple of accounts that I see who I've actually unfollowed because they sit there and they debate stuff like flat earth. Why? Why are you debating something that's just not the truth? I don't get what you get out of it. It makes no sense whatsoever. It just is a complete waste of time. And all of this leading back to the main point that I want to make is, why do we accept falsitude as truth? Why do we accept that Boris Johnson's turned around and said, oh yeah, I forgot the password to my phone? No, you haven't. You can't have. Because you are supposed to be intelligent. If you have actually forgotten the passcode to your phone, then I don't want you in charge of anything more powerful than a mechanical pencil, never mind the entire fucking country. But you haven't forgot the passcode. You just know that there's shit on there that's going to get you in trouble. I'm surprised you didn't go with the good old it got lost excuse, which no doubt will be the next thing to come up if they do find a way to get around the passcode situation. At the same time as we have the government that he used to head up going, we're going to deal with the problems that you're facing at home. Okay, people coming here in boats aren't my problem at home. Okay, my problem at home is my rent has gone up by over 6% since 2021. My problem is that my electricity has gone up over 40% since I moved into this house. My problem is that my council tax bill has gone up, I think I worked it out, at 12.7% since I started living in Leeds. Those are my problems. What are you doing about those? Is it nothing because you're too busy doing nothing? My problem is that you guys don't keep a stiff eye on the regulated market of housing. And the reason that you don't do that is because a lot of you are private landlords and you guys are responsible for the false inflation of property prices in the UK. Why don't you do something about that? Oh, because it materially benefits you. I'm sorry, but if we do not see under the next government some administration passed that means that nobody can hold a property portfolio when they are a member of parliament, then I think that government has just completely failed. The people who are in charge of regulating landlords should not also be landlords. That's not a controversial view. It's not up for debate. It's fact. I mean, let's look at Brexit as another thing. Brexit was so clearly a terrible, terrible decision to make. An absolutely foolish thing to do. There was no way that we were going to tear ourselves out of a free trade agreement with 27 other countries and we were going to just coast on by as if nothing changed. Everything was going to get worse. And the problem isn't just that it's gotten worse. It's that the people that voted for it haven't done anything to improve the status quo since. And even the people who were promising to fix it are making the same mealy-mouthed, woolen-knitted bullshit promises that we've been hearing since 2016. Oh, I'm Keir Starmer and I'm going to use legislation to fix it. What legislation can you use to fix it? Okay, so I read some of the stuff that Labour are proposing the other day. Shortening all of the paperwork that has to be done. That paperwork was self-imposed. Don't you think it would be better to just not have that paperwork in the first place? How on earth could we do that? By rejoining the fucking market. Ultimately, the other promises are like, oh, strengthening ties with Europe. How on earth could we strengthen ties with Europe? Maybe we could get into some kind of union with them? This is why I get so frustrated with how things are in British politics. Like, when you look at what we're being told stuff that makes no sense. The obvious solution is right there, and we are an island populated with slack-jawed idiots who do not understand why things need to be the way that they should be. And I am tired of politics that caters to them. I'm tired of politics that uplifts their voices, that says, we need to listen to you. When your stupid decisions over the last 20 years have gotten us to where we are. And I'm not just talking about Conservative voters. I'm talking about people that backed ridiculous wars, ideologies, ideas of how to fix the economy. I don't care what side of the fucking political platform that you're on. If you've made some of these idiotic decisions, then I don't want to hear your opinions because you're the person that got us to where we are. So do us all a favour and shut the fuck up. The more I'm researching lately, the more I've realised that there are legislative steps that we can take to actually meaningfully fix the problems that this country's facing, but that nobody is brave enough to offer them because we have a right-wing press, yes, because we have FBTP and they won't immediately pay off, yes. Lots and lots of reasons that we absolutely need to bear in mind, but ultimately, there is a time to stop babying the people of this country who don't understand politics and yet think that they can weigh in on it with a surface level understanding. Yes, I'm a self-aware wolf who realizes the high irony of that statement. I don't know enough about politics to really get directly involved, but I still know more than the people that are talking about it in this way. But ultimately, we have to make meaningful changes and go with policy that's going to shore up how this country functions down the line. The country is broken right now. We aren't going to immediately see a snap turn just because of who wins the election or whatever. We have to start putting in seeds of policy that will flourish down the line. Nobody's offering that. Everybody's just offering, let's try and stabilise the ship. I don't want to stabilise the ship. The ship is dropping to pieces. It's not about making sure the ship goes forward. It's about making sure it doesn't fucking sink. And right now, it's filling up with water, you stupid gits. And ultimately, the reason that that happens, the reason that this continues, is because we have a press and we have a government who lies to us. And that has this weird snowball effect of everybody thinking that lying to each other is okay. It's okay to lie about why you dislike the gays and the foreigners, because no one's going to question you, right? And then people question it and it's, oh, you just a soft lefty. Oh my God, honestly. My teeth actually hurt from having this conversation just with myself. I hope you enjoyed this discombobulated mess of a podcast. I just felt like recording it on my lunch because I'm stressed out about the news today and I just wanted to vent a little bit. Enjoy it, and I hope everyone's well, and I'll no doubt see you again soon for another episode of Politically Enraged. Thanks for tuning in to Politically Enraged, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do have any suggestions for any future topics, feel free to reach out to me, and if I'm interested, then maybe we'll discuss. I hope that you enjoyed and learned something. And remember, stay politically enraged and get politically engaged. Thanks.